Well, greetings, everybody. Pastor Buddy on WWCR out of Nashville, the jewel transmitting facility of the South. Ladies and gentlemen, we are delighted to be on this morning here right out of Nashville live. This is Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. We'll be with you for the next hour. I want you to stay tuned in. We've got a great message for you, and today's message is going to be entitled, The Postmaster. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you know what a postmaster does. They run the mail service. Well, you see, Yahweh delivered a love package to his people many, many thousands of years ago in the form of the Word of God. And as we note in Genesis chapter 3, we find that the postmaster, the evil postmaster, who intercepted the mail or the love letter to the family of God upon the earth, changed one word of this marvelous love letter by adding one word. The evil postmaster, in this case Satan, who had the authority to be second in command. He was the covering cherub. He was covered with 9 precious stones out of the 12 that you can read in the Bible. The one stone, amazingly, that he did not have was the stone of Joseph. Now, Joseph was the selected in time to come from the Garden of Eden. He was selected to be the birthright son that the Messiah himself would come through, this particularly bloodline, and inherit the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of the earth. These kingdoms will be reunited, just like the two houses now divided, the house of Judah and the house of Israel, with Joseph being the chief dominant tribe in the 10 northern kingdom tribes, along with the house of Yehuda and Benjamin, who miscegenated into the house of Yehuda. So we got 12 tribes with these love letters written in the blood, literally in the blood of the prophets, beginning with righteous Abel, who the evil one, Cain, who was from the wicked one, the evil postmaster, who delivered a package known as a tare in the book of Matthew, chapter 13. This is the evil one that sowed the tare, the discrepancy, if you will, the alteration of the postmark love letter written in the blood of the Lamb. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the interceptor, the postmaster, who has the authority, you take a local postmaster at your local post office, he's in charge of directing the mail. He's in charge of intercepting those letters that seem rather odd or peculiar or suspicious. He has the authority invested in him as being the postmaster general of that operation to inspect the mail. And this is exactly what Satan did. Now listen to what God's word said. The day, speaking to Eve and to Adam, the day that you eat from the tree of good and evil, that is the day you shall die. Well, Satan, the postmaster, came along and with a devious plan in mind, that's the reason we call him the evil postmaster, with this plan in mind, he developed a scheme to add, in this case, one word. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, just one word added to the general text is insignificant. It doesn't really matter a whole lot. But let me show you the impact of one word. Now, in this case, Satan come and addressed the woman through his subtle, deceptive ways, and he told the woman that the day that she ate from this tree of good and evil, in this case, himself, that she would surely not die. Added one word. The rest of the sentence that he spoke was verbatim as Yahweh himself spoke in the Garden of Eden. So then, Satan added one word, N-O-T. Well, it doesn't sound like, you know, it's life-wrecking or shipwrecking or letter-changing to the degree that it would harm or hurt anyone. It was, like, innocent enough, no doubt, that nobody began to investigate the added to the text. Well, if you look at the word in the English language, and that's what most people speak upon the earth, it is the most often spoken language in the world today. And being from the East Tennessee Hills, I use a off-brand version of the King's language. I murder some of the words by being from the South. We talk a little strange down here in the hills of Tennessee, but nevertheless, the intentions are good, so I wouldn't want to add or take away, because as it is written in the book of Revelations, it warns those who use the word of God deceitfully or for purposes other than what it was intended, which is a love letter to the people of God, that he that adds to or takes from the text, in other words, you can't add to, and neither should you take from. In this case, Satan, in this instance in Genesis chapter 3, he added one word, N-O-T. Well, in the English, the word not, insignificant, very small, but that word got man, Adam, and his descendants forever in trouble because it brought death in a time when we should have lived in these bodies with immortality. We should have lived forever. Now, let's examine the word not in from the Hebrew's perspective of the Hebrew language. Remember now, English is written in school, you're taught, to begin your letters from the left side of the page and right to the right. In Hebrew, it's actually opposite of what English is. You begin to the right and right to the left. Now, that might be so somewhat confusing, but we're going to get into some of the confusing aspects and try to iron them out and fluff them around here to where your understanding can gain insight into the discrepancy of the evil postmaster. Now, let's go from the Hebrew right to left in using the word not. If you actually spell not backwards, in this case in the Hebrew, it would spell T-O-N. Well, that's the English equivalent of 2,000 pounds. So that one little word, three letters, insignificant as it may seem to those who were reading the text, as it was to Adam and Eve, it became a heavy burden through disobedience upon man and man's offspring forever, because in this sense, the discrepant tear was sown into the family of God. Satan being rebuked, Satan being chastised, Satan being restricted from ever coming back in once he was cast out. That's another old message. But once he was cast out, he was forbidden entrance into, and so was man. Amazing. Man was literally denied entrance back into the kingdom from which he was expelled or exiled. We're talking about the kingdom that is within, the inward kingdom where Adam and Eve flourished and walked in this tropical, if you will, paradise. The word garden is really a word that is in somewhat deceptive, because we automatically think about a garden where you dress and you keep and grow things and things of this nature. They didn't have to do that in the spirit kingdom that they were in. The food that they ate was not necessarily the food that we eat in the physical natural realm. Once they were turned out, the earth was cursed, and it brought forth, instead of eternal life, it brought forth death with briars and thistles, and man began to have to earn his bread. His existence depended upon his ability to cultivate, to work the land, and to then become innovative in the various changes of the seasons as man begins to go out into the earth and to conquer and to subdue the earth through the loving command of our Heavenly Father. But remember, there was, as the Bible says, you need to understand what I'm fixing to tell you here. There was a flaming sword placed to the entrance of this gate. Remember, Christ said, I am the door back into where the shepherd and the sheep reside. I am the door to the sheepfold. No man can come in except he comes in through me. Now, what does that mean? That means that the genetic bloodline of Almighty God is demonstrated and presented to the earth. In this case, the Son of God, God, Yahweh, in the Hebrew Bible, and we're going to talk about the name, the difference, and things of this nature, some of the aspects of the evil postmaster, as he is turning his agents. These are called translators, who we shall label, in this case, translators, translize. They figure how to change, alter, or add to the Word of God. Now, we'll give you some instances. For instance, we're going to the 23rd chapter of the book of Luke, and we're going to start at the 34th verse, and this is one of the most famous quotes that is quoted from the lips of man in respect to the forgiveness of God to those who killed him. Now, God actually, literally, invented himself into a flesh body. The Bible said in the beginning, this is John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The 14th verse said the Word was made flesh. The 10th verse said he was in the world, and the world was made by him. Think about it. the Almighty God, the creator of everything that exists, for he is the author and the finisher of everything that you see, hear, taste, smell, and touch. Almighty Yahweh created these things, and his name mentioned 5,823 times in the original Bible. Now, let me explain myself here as we go a little bit deeper into the evil intentions of the postmaster, which is to deceive the very elect, if possible. Now, we know that the sheep will hear the shepherd's voice. Therefore, we call our message and our hour that we spend with you on WWCR, the transmitting jewel of the South around the world, with the message of hope and the message of reclaiming that which was lost and that which was eaten up by the cankerworm and run over by the caterpillars of life, meaning that your soul is hanging tediously in the balance of eternal existence. Now, what will a man, you can gain the whole world, but what would a man give in exchange for his soul? Well, there must be an exchange. If you don't have the truth, you cannot exchange or believe or participate in a way that seems right, a way that is not right, a way that is a lie, but covered very well with evil intentions of evil men creep in unaware to change the invitation of God's holy word. Now, remember in Luke 23:34, and let me show you an example. This is just for instance, one of the things. You see, there is not one shred of evidence that we know of in man's possession. They may be, however, we don't have it. We believe that the original, we know that the original Old Testament, the old parchment, was written in Hebrew. Most of it written in the paleo aspect, the ancient scriptures written in the paleo, and the more modern, if we can say modern, BC, before Christ. A lot of it began to change after the house of Judah was inducted into the house of Babylon. They changed the paleo Hebrew to what is known, to protect the language, to square script or Aramaic. This is the language that we know that Christ spoke when he walked the earth. We know that the apostles, Peter, James, and John, in particular, the three pillars in the church, that Yahweh chose, Peter being the key man, the doorman, the invitation man, as he invited those believers in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, to obey the command of the gospel and receive remission of sins through water baptism in the great name of the Messiah. Now, in this case, the Greeks have invented a name, and the lion translators have brought in a name that we hold suspect, that you might want to examine through the evil intentions of the evil postmaster, which lay in wait to deceive, and the Bible says they will, unless otherwise deceive the very elect. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that verse of scripture written in Greek. Now, we're going back to the original. We're not going to the King James English version or other versions that were copied from the Catholic Vulgate. We're not going to that. We're going to the original Greek language. In the original King James Bible written in 1611 and translated from the Catholic Archives, we find this scripture. Father, forgive them, for they know not. There, that word is again, not what they do. Now, that sounds reasonable. That sounds or seems right. What's wrong with that? You know that God loved the very people that killed him, don't you, Pastor Buddy? Maybe not. If God so loved the world of John 3:16. Now, let me show you something very startling here, and this is going to upset a lot of people's ideals about the Bible. Nevertheless, you need to search the scripture for wherein you think that they're saying something. And really, the lying translators are the evil postmasters who have had access to the true Word of God, have altered, changed, and added and taken from throughout the last 2,000 years, and some of the modern translations you wouldn't even recognize from the original 1611s, or even back to the other editions that were actually older than the 1611 King James, because there were older editions. The one I just mentioned to you, the Catholic Bible, was one of the oldest. Matter of fact, in the 8th century, they began to translate into English for the English-speaking people. And then in 1611, King James, out of a jealous rage, because most people were reading from the other versions around the world, they become popular. In this case, the Geneva Bible, which was written in 1580s, long before the King James, that the King James demanded a version to be written in English for the English-speaking peoples, that he may, get this now, comfort the people that needed the warmth of the Scriptures. Not really searching the fact that some of them could be altered and changed. In this case, the King James says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The original Greek, which is an older version. Now, we're not saying that the Greek is the original version. Remember this, we believe it was Aramaic, but the Aramaic versions were either lost or purposely hidden, where the lying translators or the evil postmasters with the love letter of God to the people of God could change these certain scriptures to give a different indication other than what was said. Well, listen to the Greek. The Greek version, you can get this in any Greek interlinear that, and we have a suggestion that the J.P. Green Hebrew Greek English version of the interlinear would be a marvelous version, because even some of the Greek versions have become altered, because now that they know that that is an exposing revelation of deception by the lying postmaster, the evil ones who have translated and translated the Bible down through the century. Father, forgive them not, for they know what they do. Now, anybody that thinks that the evil people that killed him didn't know what they were doing, you just don't read the Bible. For Yahweh to forgive them, he would have had to forgive Sodom and Gomorrah. To forgive Sodom and Gomorrah, he would have had to resurrect those who were destroyed in the flood without any gospel being preached to them, because, you see, there was no facilities for them, because it was too late to preach to them. They'd all gone to Horan and genetically altered their bloodline until the time that God intervened into Noah and his seven righteous family, being him the eighth one. They were righteous genetically. They had not mixed, race mixed, cross mixed, or done any of these things that are being done today in the form of we are the world, or God would have it this way. God said kind after kind. And man has come along, the lying translators, with tradition of man, and give us a, let the Father forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. So therefore, the Christian, being very passive, says that we should forgive our enemies. Well, who's our enemies? The Bible said your enemies will be those of your own household. That's the people that oppose you. When you find the truth, you'll find that they fight you stronger than anyone because they don't have the understanding. Maybe that you come into the revelation of these truths and you begin to teach right in the church. I know I have taught in a lot of churches that used to accept me as a wonderful Christian teacher, preacher, evangelist. And then when I come into the full revelation of truth, they hated me because I begin to speak the truth and bring the living righteous interpreted. The Bible said rightly divide. It don't say to add to it, take from it. It says rightly divide. Once you rightly divide the scriptures, like, Father, forgive them not. That word not is significant one more time. Right in the hidden text, right in front of the people's nose, who never bothered to look, never bothered to search the scriptures. For the Bible says you must search the scriptures, for wherein you think you have eternal life. Yeah, I'm not. Now let's deal with the second part of the Shepherd's Call. You're listening live this morning to Pastor Buddy on WWCR around the world. Mighty Voice, the Cadillac of industry, the transmitting jewel right here from Nashville, Tennessee. We're glad to have you aboard. Let's look at some of the other deceptive language translations. Let's look in the word God. Now, in the Old Testament was not written. Now, I want to repeat this now, so I want to add emphasis to this, because I'm trying to straighten out the postmaster's interception of the living, holy, righteous Word of God, where no one was to add to it. Only Satan and his agents would dare to alter, add to, or take from the Word of God. Now, you say, well, buddy, nobody would change that Holy Bible. It says Holy Bible right on the front. It may say Holy Bible, and two-thirds of it may be holy. But one-third may have an alteration from the evil postmaster and the mind of the serpent who thought to change the Word of God. Have you ever thought that maybe, just maybe, perhaps, that you should search a little deeper, that you should look a little deeper into some of the original languages? Did you know that the Old Testament was never written in English? It was written in Hebrew. You say, well, I don't speak Hebrew, glory to God. I do well to speak English, glory to God, Pastor Buddy. Well, that's true. That's my problem also. I wrestle with some of the words of the King's language, as I said. Murder some of the verbs and nouns and pronouns. However, these words, just like the simple word not and the simple word God. Now, let's look at the word God. In the Old Testament, we know our Creator as Lord God. And the Lord God said, and the Lord God said, many, many, many times, the translators have left out the original word that should have been there and inserted the word L-O-R-D. When you see the word L-O-R-D, or the word G-O-D in capital letters, accent on the capitalization, meaning the reverence to the Mighty One. Well, why? My question is this. Why did the translators write into the text something that was not there in the original language? You see, ladies and gentlemen, I've got a crow to pick with the devil, the evil postmaster. And the Bible says Satan, the evil postmaster, went out to make war, and the best way he could make it is to change the love letter to God's people. Therefore, you must love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. If we can use the word God interchangeably for your understanding. We used that word this morning And for your understanding, that when we finish up today's message, maybe you could take a look at the word God in a different light and the word Lord. Now, there is a very, very interesting scripture that is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5. Here Paul informs us through his epistles that there's many lords and many gods. Now let's go back to a certain verse in the scripture. We can pick out any verse in the Old Testament in the English language. And the Lord God said, well, if there's many lords and many gods, which one said? Which one said, if there's many lords and many gods? And 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5 and 6 says, there's many lords and many gods. Well, did Paul know his creator as Lord and God? No, he did not. Paul never addressed the deity with Lord or God. Being many gods, he would have been a discourteous approach to the throne of God. He would have never called him God. In the word God, looking at it from the Hebrew sense, from right to left, if you spell the word God, G-O-D, you can see what the Lion translators have done when you reverse the English to Hebrew and then take a look at your addressing what you would recognize the word to be. Just look at it. Spell God backwards in Hebrew, or reverse osmosis, as we call it here at the Shepherd's Call Ministries. Look at that word. G-O-D in the English is D-O-G in the reverse, dog. Now, you certainly would not, and I know none of you good-intending Christians would ever call your creator a dog. Let's look at the word Lord. Remember the two interchangeable, the Lord God said, the Lord God said. Every time you see Lord, L-O-R-D, that is a substitute for the original Hebrew name of God written in the ancient scriptures in Paleo and in the later versions with Aramaic. We know from the Dead Sea Scrolls that the name of the Creator was written right into the holy text, and they were able to pronounce it. No problem. But the postmaster, changing the love letter, the evil one that crept in unaware, the pen, ladies and gentlemen, become mightier than the sword. Although wars have literally killed and maimed millions upon millions, the pen, being mightier than the sword, has reached into the minds of man in a distorted language, using words that is not appropriate to address your creator by his holy name, Yahweh. Therefore, the name Yahweh was removed. Very surgically skilled translators took out the holy name in the original text and inserted a word, Lord and God. Well, did you know what Satan said to the woman? The day that you eat this, you'll become a god. Well, do you know what Yahweh said? He said, there is not a god beside me. Not one God beside me. No one is capable or deserving to sit by the Creator. He's alone and by himself. He created the earth by himself. He didn't need any help. Although the sons of God, the angelic beings, the gods that Eve and Adam walked among in the original garden, these were superior beings because man is a little lower and a woman is a weaker vessel. Therefore, Satan, the evil one, sowed the discrepant seed into the womb of Eve and impregnated her with Cain. Cain was of the wicked one, according to 1 John chapter 3, verse 12. I know that don't sit well with you Sunday school Bible-toting people. But unless you get on some meat and get off this milk, the problem of milk, you need some meat and the meat of understanding to come to you, Vail, Pastor Buddy, and the Shepherd's Call directly to you in a love message. No alteration, true, unabridged, unadulterated, unfornicated Word of God. Satan is a fornicator. Satan is an adulterer, and Satan is a love letter changer because he had the power of the Postmaster General to accuse the brethren. Ladies and gentlemen, by changing the love letter, he has changed the course of history and the world and would deceive the very elect. But God said in his word, my sheep know my voice. He said, now, Pastor Buddy, what about Lord, L-O-R-D? We'll spell it backwards. D-O-R-L, girl, from the ancient Irish language, we find it's the root word or an offspring from the root word troll. And a troll is an Irish imp or a demon that sits beneath the bridge of life waiting to catch you in his web as you fall from the bridge. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the love bridge being built on a sandy foundation and with the deception of the love letter that Satan has translated into existence to become the norm rather than the exception and truth is hard to find. The Bible said, search for the truth with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength. Would you search with Pastor Buddy today in the adventure of correcting the love letter of God with the warning to heed, do not add to or take from, but rightly divide the word of truth? Would you join with Pastor Buddy in the struggle of trying to recover the lost sheep of the house of Israel, according to Matthew chapter 15. According to Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 and 6, he said, do not go to the Gentiles. You see, the word Gentile is a misnomer. It's ethnos, race. Go to a people of your race. And the apostles, the apostolic fathers, went out and hunted for the lost sheep that were scattered in 721 B.C. and put in among the isles of the heathen, where they would have to change from their heathen ways, return to God, the true God, the God of Jacob, Yahweh, Elohim. So the word for God in Hebrew is El, singular, Elohim, plural, meaning more than one El. Or gods. Now, with this deception in mind from the evil postmaster, with confusion, you see, Babylon is nothing but pure confusion. That's what the word Babylon means, Babel. To create confusion, to rule through fear, ignorance, and superstition. And Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, he said, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. You see, it's not just like, well, I decided to be a Christian. It's not that simple. Well, I just decided to go down. They took me into the church down there in the name of Jesus. Have you ever thought about the only English name in the Bible that starts with a J that has a G sound? The only one. Joshua don't start with Joshua. Why don't we use G sound in Joshua? That's because there was no J's in the 1611 Bible, and you won't find the name J-E-S-U-S in the original 1611. You'll find it in the altered changed translations when they created J in 1702 and started adding it to the text. There was no J. Well, you said, well, Pastor Buddy, what was it? In the Greek, it was an I, and in Hebrew, it was a Y. So his name did not start with a G sound or a J sound. It started with a Yah. Now, come on with me now, and let's say it together. Do not be stubborn or rebellious or stiff-necked, Jacob Israel. Come out of her, my people, and receive the truth. How do we say in so many ways, in so many countries, in so many languages, how do we say in praise and honor and adoration, how do we say hallelujah? Yah is the short poetic form of the word 3068 in the scriptures where you see Lord, it's translated erroneously as Jehovah most of the time in the old concordances, corrected in the updated versions when man began to see what was wrong. Strong's in the 18th century selling Bibles, Jehovah became popular, but that's an erroneous rendering of the Holy Divine Covenant name. It was never Jehovah. And of course, they don't say Jehovah like they say Jesus. The Jehovah Witnesses use a J sound for Jehovah and a G sound for his son Jesus. Now, does that make sense? No, it don't add up. Why? Because people have been deceived, and when it says it shall deceive the very elect, ladies and gentlemen, you better watch. You just can't go down to a Christian church and sign the dotted line and get you a little church card, start paying your tithes, and go to sleep in the pews, parking your brain in the foyer. When you get into the churches, you better open your eyes. You better open your ears, and you better listen carefully to what the preacher's doing, because the Bible said that the prophets of Satan have filled the churches of the land with smooth speech and enticing words of man's wisdom, and would deceive the very elect if possible. And those that even think that they're doing God a service by running to and fro, saving the world, that wasn't the mission of Almighty Yahweh. He said, go on to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But the Bible said they'll compass land and sea to make one proselyte, when they make them, they make them two, four, or more the child of hell than they were to begin with. Who is that? That's Christians, ladies and gentlemen, that is using the Christian faith under the guise of Lord and God and Jesus to deceive. By being deceived themselves, they go out and deceive those because they believe what they believe. And they believe a lie to be damned. You got to turn away from that. You got to get into it. I know this is hard. I know that this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? I just pray that the Father will open your understanding and you will have mercy upon my hard message, that you will receive it with the intended love that I put it out in. I don't want to be hard. I don't want to be harsh. I don't want to be rude. I don't want to be straightforward. I don't want to cut with a knife. But I have to. Because the people have become hard of hearing. Their eyes have been dimmed through tradition and deceit of the evil postmaster. Now, Yahweh has sent prophets to straighten out the love letter, to rightly divide it, to show you the error of the wicked. In the original text, John 16, the most quoted scripture in all Christianity, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And so we go out and revolutionize and evangelize the world when God did not give such a command, and that scripture is not even in the original text. In the old manuscripts, in the Greek, the oldest manuscripts that have been looked into, John 3:16 was added by the Catholic translators as an afterthought of a scene that way. Isn't that amazing? You see, God does not love the world. If you love the world, the love of God is not in you. How can you love something he don't love? Or how can he command you to love something he didn't love? Because God said, if you love the world, the love of God is not in you, the love of the Father. So when you put everything in perspective, you see what they've done. They have massively deceived the world to add to their coffers, to add bodies and numbers to their churches, and the great whore that corrupted earth and the cup full of abomination, Revelation 17, sits on seven hills, and you all know where that's at. You Bible readers have to wake up. Well, look at the harlots. That's the denominational system, the Protestant, the protesters that broke from her and hated the whore became harlots themselves, using the same name that she promoted and introduced to the world, the Greek Latin form of the Savior's name. Greek Latin, not the Hebrew form of his great name. Oh my. Watch the evil postmaster who has changed the love letter since eternity. Now we've grown up in such a scene that way because we've heard a lie. Adolf Hitler said, a lie often repeated enough becomes truth to the ignorant population. Did you hear that? A lie, and the Bible said Satan is a liar and the father of it. When he writes in the scriptures, he writes a lie. Oh, yes, but he's very subtle. If he wasn't, he couldn't deceive anybody. He doesn't have a pitchfork and a big, long red tail with flaming red eyes and big, jagged, rotten teeth, as some people portray him in their little cartoons and in their Bible documentaries. Satan is a clothed angel of brightness, of love. He uses the tradition of man to deceive the very elect. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. So then, if you read the love letter that has been written to you without any discretion, without any rightful interpretation, you may be one of those, like I was, deceived by thinking that you were doing God a service. Ladies and gentlemen, we must awaken and return to the old path. The Bible said, see and ask. The day that you seek it, with all your heart, you can find it. We have a track on the divine covenant name, the great, wonderful, magnanimous, magnificent name of Yahweh. If you'd like to have it free and postpaid, just write Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. Now that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. If you'd like to have a copy of the Evil Postmaster CD, well, we'd be glad to send that to you so that you could study these things to see whether they're true or not. The Bible says, search the scriptures for wherein you think you have eternal life, you don't have any. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm live here in the studio coming to you for WWCR, the Transmitting Jewel of the South, and my telephone number this morning, if you'd like to call me, is area code 423-626-2172. Now, my sponsor, who lives in the great state of Illinois, a man that truly loves the truth, he puts his money where his mouth is, hard-earned money, hard to come by money, and we need your help. If you could help us to see that you could keep Pastor Buddy and his voice of the shepherd's call around the world on WWCR 15.825 at 9 o'clock Central Time out of Nashville, Tennessee, the transmitting facility This is a first class, the Cadillac of industry. WW. See, none equal, none greater. So write us. You can write WWCR. If you're anywhere overseas, you can mail your letter to Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824, USA, right here in the beautiful hills of East Tennessee. Nothing compared to the beauty that God has created in this earth. The magnificent one, the marvelous one, the precious one. Well, ladies and gentlemen, my time has come and gone. If you'd like to call me, area code 423-626-2172. Now, that's area code 423-626-2172. I'll see you next Saturday morning, Yahweh willing, and the creek don't rise right here out of Nashville on WWCR 15.825 live with the Shepherd's Call. Yahweh bless you and keep you whole.